Okay, so today we're heading to Antalya in Turkey,
Antalya.
Yantalya.
Yeah.
And as always, we've got our collection of sources.
Right.
And I've noticed that we've got some travel blogs
Yes, we do.
and some more general guides too.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a deep dive into all of that and really try to figure out what makes Antalya, such an interesting place to visit.
Yeah, I think that having those different perspectives is really helpful.
Yeah.
You know, when you're trying to get a sense of a new place,
Right.
you know, having the kind of more on the ground perspective
Yeah.
from the travel blogs, but then also having the kind of broader context that the more general guides provide.
Yeah, and speaking of those blogs and guides,
Yeah.
I found it really interesting as I was going through them that there were a few themes that really stood out to me.
Okay.
One is this sort of idea that, even though Antalya is this modern city,
Right.
it sounds like tradition is still like a really important part of life there. And then we've got this like legendary Turkish hospitality,
Oh, yeah.
which from what I read, it sounds really generous.
Yes, very much so.
Maybe a little different from what we're used to in, other parts of the world. And then the last thing is that apparently the orange is like this huge symbol in Antalya. Yeah, it sounds like they're everywhere.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. So we'll definitely get into all of that, but maybe we should start by taking a look at some of the cultural norms and etiquette that our sources talk about.
Yeah, that's a great place to start because I think it really sets the stage for understanding the kind of cultural landscape of Antalya.
Right.
And one of the things that really stood out to me
Yeah.
was this kind of interplay
Yeah.
between these more traditional customs and the really welcoming attitude towards tourists. So, for example, one of the documents notes that, like, while Turkish law guarantees gender equality,
Right.
there are still, you know, certain traditional practices
Okay.
that you'll see there, like women wearing headscarves in public or opting for more modest attire.
I see.
So it's that kind of nuance where
Right.
you have this kind of legal framework in place, but there's still this sort of cultural overlay
Got it.
that informs how people behave.
Yeah, and the blogs that I read, they really emphasize that the locals are very accepting of tourists,
Right.
but there was this sort of underlying, message of, you should still be respectful of these customs. So it's like, don't wear anything too revealing in public. Be discreet about drinking alcohol if you're not in like a designated tourist area.
Right.
And then something that came up a lot was removing your shoes when you enter someone's home.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
In many cultures, actually.
Right. It's all about being mindful for the way
Exactly.
people live there.
And it speaks to this broader point about just being polite and respectful, you know, in all your interactions.
Right.
Even small gestures can go a long way
Yeah.
in showing that you're making an effort.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And the guide we looked at it actually recommends
Oh, yeah.
learning some basic Turkish phrases.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, just to kind of enhance your interactions and show that you're genuinely interested in their culture.
I think people really appreciate that when you try to speak even a few words of their language.
Yeah, even a simple merhaba or teşekkür ederim
Absolutely.
can go a long way.
Yeah, just those little things show that you're not just a tourist passing through.
Right.
You're actually engaging with the culture.
Exactly. So let's talk about Turkish hospitality
Okay.
because this is something that our sources really emphasize.
Yeah, they really paint a vivid picture of it.
Yeah, it sounds like they're very welcoming.
Extremely welcoming.
Like their homes are always ready for guests. They always have treats on hand, like fruit and sweets,
Yeah.
and they're always ready to brew Turkish coffee
Oh, yes, the famous Turkish coffee.
or prepare a meal at a moment's notice.
It really speaks to this deep-rooted cultural value of generosity and offering what they call ikram.
I love
Yeah,
that.
it's really heartwarming.
Yeah, but what's interesting is that the same source
Yeah.
that talks about this amazing hospitality also kind of hints that some travelers might perceive it as a little intrusive.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, intrusive.
So how does that manifest?
Well, so imagine you're walking through the shops
Okay.
and the shopkeepers are like inviting you in for tea or coffee, wanting to talk about their products and give you recommendations.
Yeah.
Which, they're just trying to be welcoming and helpful,
Right.
but it can feel a bit much.
Yeah. I could see how that could be overwhelming.
Right. Especially if you're not used to that level of interaction.
Especially if you come from a culture where you're used to more personal space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's this interesting cultural difference.
It is. It's about those different expectations.
Right.
Around personal space and interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the best way to navigate this then?
Well, the sources emphasize the importance of just acknowledging the invitations politely.
Okay.
Even if you're not planning to accept them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a simple smile and a tekeker ederim.
So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Can go a long way in showing your appreciation.
We got it.
Without feeling obligated.
So just recognize that they're coming from a good place.
Exactly.
Okay.
They're just trying to be hospitable.
Okay, so now let's kind of zoom out a bit and look at Antalya in the context of Turkey as a whole.
Yeah, let's broaden our perspective a bit.
Because one of the travel blogs that we have, this one's from 2022.
Okay.
And they talk about their trip across Turkey.
Yeah.
And they specifically mention Antalya alongside Istanbul and Izmir.
Interesting.
As key cities that they visited.
So Antalya is right up there with the big names.
Yeah. And they talk about staying in hotels that met European standards.
Okay.
But what's interesting is they specifically called out the Voyage Resort in Antalya
right.
as exceeding their expectations.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah. So if you're planning a trip to Antalya, you might want to check that out.
Yeah. It sounds like it's worth looking into.
And here's something else that's really useful for travelers.
Mm-hmm.
They suggest that Antalya is a really great place to end your Turkey trip.
Well, that's a good tip.
Yeah. You know, before you fly home.
Makes sense logistically.
Yeah. And speaking of logistics,
yeah,
the blog also points out that Antalya's airport has excellent infrastructure.
So getting in and out is easy.
Yeah. Very convenient for international departures.
That's always a plus.
And they also talk about the currency situation.
Okay, because Turkey uses the Turkish lira.
Right. Turkish lira is the official currency.
Mm-hmm.
But they say that a lot of vendors,
yeah,
especially in the tourist areas, are happy to accept euros, British pounds, or U.S. dollars.
So you have options.
Yeah, you do. But they still recommend having some local currency on hand.
Yeah, that's always a good idea.
You just in case you come across a place that doesn't take cards.
All right, especially for smaller purchases or if you're venturing outside of the main tourist zones.
Yeah, exactly. And one more thing about money.
Yeah.
The blog reinforces this idea that Turkey is generally very affordable.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, especially compared to other European destinations.
So it's a good value for your money.
Exactly.
Which is always appealing.
Okay. So now for something a little bit different.
Okay.
Let's talk about oranges.
Oranges?
Yeah. Apparently oranges are like a huge thing in Antalya.
Really?
Yeah. They're everywhere.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah. The guide that we have
mm-hmm.
describes all these orange monuments all over the city.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're made out of all sorts of materials like stone and wood and even plastic.
Wow, that's commitment.
And they're not just monuments either. It's like cafe posters and market posters.
So it's like a real symbol of the city.
Yeah, they've really embraced the orange.
It makes you wonder what's behind that.
Yeah, like why the orange?
Right, is there some historical significance? Or is it an agricultural thing?
Maybe it's both.
Maybe they just really love oranges.
I mean, who doesn't love a good orange?
True.
But yeah, it's definitely something to think about.
Yeah, maybe we could even ask a local about it.
Yeah, if we ever get to visit.
Right.
Okay, so let's move on to something a bit more structured now.
Okay.
Let's talk about festivals and events.
Festivals.
Yeah, because Antalya seems to have a really lively calendar.
Yeah, it sounds like there's always something going on.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that a lot of their traditional local events are tied to the lunar calendar.
Oh, so the dates change every year.
Exactly, so you have to kind of plan accordingly.
Right.
But there are also several annual festivals
that
happen on a fixed schedule.
Got it.
So one of those is the Antalya Flower Festival.
The Flower Festival.
Yeah, it happens in May, and it sounds amazing.
That's so special about it.
Well, they have these huge flower platforms
that
move through the streets. And they're decorated with these really elaborate floral figures.
So it's like a giant parade of flowers.
Yeah, it's like a huge celebration of flowers and gardening.
It sounds beautiful.
And apparently it's a really important event.
How can you tell?
Well, the guide mentions that even high-ranking officials attend.
Oh, wow. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a really big deal.
So if you're into flowers,
mm-hmm.
that's the time to visit.
Exactly.
Okay, so what about other times of year?
Well, in June, they have a bunch of different festivals.
Okay, like what?
Like the Antalya Opera and Ballet Festival.
Oh, nice.
And the Antalya Jazz Festival.
Okay, so something for everyone.
Yeah, and then there are some more localized celebrations too,
Like what?
like the Abdal Moussa Festival and the Finiki Festival.
Interesting. So you get that mix of the kind of international and the local.
Exactly. And then July brings the Antalya Tourism Festival.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, they're really proud of their tourism industry,
Right.
but August sounds really fun.
What happens in August?
They have the Antalya International Festival of Folk Music and Dance.
Oh, wow.
And what's really cool about this one is that they encourage audience participation.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, you can learn traditional songs and dances and
Wow.
even perform with the artists.
So it's really immersive.
Yeah, it's a really great way to experience Turkish culture.
That sounds amazing.
And the main concert lasts late into the evening.
Oh, wow. So it's a proper party.
Yeah, so then in September, you've got the İbrahim Grape Festival.
The Grape Festival.
Yeah, probably celebrating the harvest.
Makes sense.
And then there's the Golden Orange Film Festival.
The Golden Orange Film Festival.
Yeah, this one sounds really big.
What's it all about?
Well, it's a major event for the Turkish film industry.
Okay.
And it's actually very respected throughout Asia as well.
Well,
Yeah, it started back in 1964.
oh, wow, that's a long history.
Yeah, and the goal was to support Turkish cinema.
Okay.
And now they showcase over 100 films.
Wow, that's a lot of films.
Yeah, but it's not just about watching films. It's also a big social event.
Oh, that's cool.
You can meet actors and filmmakers,
Wow.
go to concerts, parties, all sorts of things.
So it's a real celebration of cinema.
Yeah, it sounds really lively.
Yeah.
And then there's Sandland on Lara Beach.
Sandland.
Yeah, this is a mega exhibition of sand sculptures.
Sand sculptures.
Yeah, they use 10,000 tons of sand.
10,000 tons of sand.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's a lot of sand.
And it covers over 10,000 square meters.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, and they have international artists come and create these incredible sculptures.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and they even have an area where visitors can try their hand at sand sculpting.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a really cool and unique attraction.
Yeah, it's definitely something you don't see every day.
Right. And then finally in October, they have the International Mediterranean Music Festival.
The music festival.
Yeah, so as you can see, Antalya has something going on all year round.
Yeah, it's a city that really embraces festivals and events.
Okay, so what about things to do in Antalya besides festivals?
Yeah, what about the day-to-day activities?
Well, the guide that we have, it really emphasizes Antalya's suitability for active recreation.
Okay, so for people who like to get out and do things.
Exactly. And they mention all these water parks and sports complexes.
How fun.
Yeah. So one of the water parks is called Dedeman Aqua Park.
Datum and Aqua Park.
Yeah, it opened back in 1993.
Oh, wow. So it's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's a classic and it's huge.
How big are we talking?
Well, it covers 36,000 square meters.
Wow, that's massive.
Yeah, and they have all sorts of stuff there. Pools, artificial lakes with islands, rides, slides, jacuzzis.
Wow, they've got it all.
Yeah, and of course they have cafes, restaurants, and bars too.
So you can spend the whole day there.
Yeah, it's like a whole day out.
Yeah.
And then there's another water park called Aqualand,
Aqualand.
and this one's near Kemer,
Okay.
and it's known for its giant wave pool.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, and they also have a dolphinarium.
A dolphinarium.
Yeah, you can watch dolphin shows and
Cool.
even swim with dolphins.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I think you have to pay extra for that though.
Yeah, probably.
But it sounds like a really cool experience.
It does.
And of course, they have lots of restaurants and cafes there too.
Of course, you got to fuel up for all that swimming.
Exactly. And then if you're looking for something a bit more modern,
Okay.
there's Atlantis Water Park.
Atlantis Water Park.
Yeah, this one's a bit newer and
Okay.
it's gotten really good reviews.
So people seem to like it.
Yeah, they have a loyal customer base.
That's a good sign.
So yeah, if you're into water parks, Antalya has you covered.
It sounds like a water park enthusiast's paradise.
And it's not just water parks either.
Okay, what else is there?
Well, they have great shopping in Antalya.
Oh, shopping.
Yeah, you can buy all sorts of things.
Like what?
Well, you know, Turkish coffee is a must,
Of course.
and they have lots of souvenirs, and then there's cosmetics, perfumes, jewelry, clothes, shoes.
So basically everything.
Yeah, pretty much. And they mention Atatürk Street as a main shopping area.
Okay.
Yeah, it has a lot of well-known shops.
Okay.
And they also have restaurants and kebab cafes there too.
So you can shop till you drop and then refuel.
Exactly.
Sounds like a good plan.
And then when the sun goes down,
Yeah.
Antalya has a pretty vibrant nightlife scene.
Oh, nightlife.
Yeah, they list a bunch of different clubs in the guide.
Okay. Like what?
Well, there's Aura, which is popular for its DJs,
Okay.
and then Arma, which is a big disco.
Okay.
It has a restaurant, a bar, a dance floor, and it has amazing views of the sea harbor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's open until like dawn.
Wow, so you can party all night long.
Yeah, and then there's Denizadi Disco Bar.
Denizadi Disco Bar.
Yeah, it's a trendy spot near the coastline.
Okay.
And Alley Nightclub, which is a rock club.
Oh, rock club.
Yeah, and they sometimes have famous guests performing there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be really lively on Fridays and Saturdays.
So that's the place to be on the weekend.
Yeah, and then there's Club Soho.
Club Soho.
Yeah, they have good service and two dance floors.
To dance floors.
Yeah, one plays music from DJs and the other one plays Turkish and international pop music.
So there's something for everyone.
Yeah, and then there's Inferno, which is a really stylish nightclub.
Inferno.
Yeah, and apparently it gets really busy after midnight.
Okay.
And they have good music, and they also mentioned that they offer a starry sky as a bonus.
A starry sky.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds cool.
Maybe they have like a retractable roof or something.
Yeah, maybe.
So it sounds like there are plenty of options for clubbing.
Yeah, and it's not just clubs either.
Okay.
During the summer, they have smaller parties and discos on the beaches.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so there's always something going on.
Sounds like a fun place to be.
Okay, so now let's talk about extreme recreation.
Extreme recreation.
Yeah, because Antalya has a lot to offer in that department too.
Okay, like what?
Well, diving is popular there.
Diving.
Yeah, and you can actually dive year round.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the sea temperature is around 10 degrees Celsius, even in the winter.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, and the best spots are near Bodrum and the islands closer to Antalya.
Okay.
And there's also a cool diving tour that you can do.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah, it's to a submerged French military ship near Kemer.
Wow, a shipwreck.
Yeah, it's called the Paris.
The Paris.
Yeah, and the tour costs around $50.
That sounds like a unique experience.
Yeah, and then if you prefer to stay above water,
Yeah.
there's rafting in the Keperlu Canyon.
Rafting.
Yeah, it's really popular with both locals and tourists.
Okay.
And there are a bunch of agencies that offer tours,
Yeah.
and they typically cost between 25 and 45 US dollars.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah, and that includes transportation, lunch, and all the equipment you need.
So it's all taken care of?
Yeah, and they say that it's suitable for beginners.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the conditions are quite safe.
So you don't have to be an expert.
Exactly. And then there's Moto Safari.
Go to safari.
Yeah, this sounds really fun.
What is it?
Well, you basically get to ride a motorbike through the mountains. Yeah, they take you on these guided tours through all these different terrains, like rivers, forests, mountains, fields, meadows.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, and they usually stop for a picnic along the way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it costs around 20 to 30 US dollars.
So that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, and if you're not comfortable on a motorbike,
Yeah.
they also have Jeep excursions.
Oh, cool. So there are options.
Yeah, and then for the ultimate thrill seeker,
Yeah.
there's paragliding.
Paragliding.
Yeah, you can paraglide off of Mount Olympos.
Wow.
Yeah, which is closer to Antalya,
Okay.
and also Baba Dag.
Baba Dag.
Yeah, and they do tandem flights.
Tandem flights.
Yeah, so you're strapped to an instructor,
Okay.
and they cost between 100 and 150 US dollars.
So a bit more expensive.
Yeah, but can you imagine the views?
Yeah, that must be incredible.
Yeah, seeing the coastline from a bird's eye view.
Wow.
Yeah, so as you can see, there's no shortage of adventure activities in Antalya.
Yeah, they've got it all.
And a travel blog that we mentioned
Yeah,
earlier,
yeah.
it actually confirms this.
Okay.
They say that most hotels can arrange paragliding for you.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah, and all sorts of water sports,
Like what?
like scuba diving and sailing.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of the hotels actually have their own water parks.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And they also mention this big theme park called Land of Legends.
Land of Legends.
Yeah, that sounds pretty epic.
Sounds like it.
And they also talk about safari buggy tours, rafting, and zip line adventures.
Wow, so even more adventure options.
Yeah, and they mention guided tours of Antalya City,
Sure.
where you can see waterfalls and ride cable cars.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, and then they also mention excursions to Roman and Greco-Roman ruins.
Oh, wow. So you can get your history fixed too.
Yeah, so it sounds like you can really tailor your Antalya trip to your own interests.
Yeah, you could be as active or as relaxed as you want.
Exactly. And the blog actually suggests three different holiday styles for Antalya.
Okay, what are they?
Well, you can have a fully activity-focused trip,
Okay.
or you can go for the sleep, eat, sun, and entertainment route.
It's more of a relaxing beach vacation.
Exactly. Or you can do a mix of both.
Yeah, the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and they say that June to September is the best time to go if you want to spend time on the beach.
Okay, so prime beach season.
Yeah, and if you're a golfer,
Yeah.
apparently there are 10 golf courses near Belek.
Belek.
Yeah, which is just a short trip from Antalya.
Oh,
So
no.
really, there's something for everyone.
Yeah, Antalya seems to cater to a wide range of interests.
Okay, so now let's step back even further
Okay.
and talk about Turkey in general.
Turkey as a whole.
Yeah, because we have this document called Turkey General, and it gives us a really good overview of the country.
Okay, so what are some key takeaways?
Well, first of all, it's important to remember that Turkey is a transcontinental country.
Right. It spans both Europe and Asia.
Yeah, and that's really shaped its culture and history.
Yeah, it's a crossroads of civilizations.
Exactly, and it also has a really diverse and dynamic economy. They're strong in agriculture, textiles, automotive manufacturing, electronics, and of course, tourism.
Right. Lots of different industries.
Yeah. And Istanbul is like the economic heart of Turkey.
Istanbul, the bustling metropolis.
Yeah. And even though they've experienced some economic ups and downs lately, Turkey is still a major player on the global stage.
Yeah, they have a growing tech industry too.
Right. And then geographically, it's a really diverse country. They have coastlines on the Aegean Sea and the Mediterranean Sea.
Right. Beautiful beaches.
Yeah. And then they have mountains in the east.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of those mountains. They're stunning.
And they have fertile plains and forests
Yeah.
and coastal cliffs and even some semi-arid regions.
So a real mix of landscapes.
Yeah. And of course, they have the Bosphorus Strait.
Right, the iconic strait that separates Europe and Asia.
Exactly. And speaking of geography,
Yeah.
Turkey is in a geologically active zone.
Right, they have those major fault lines.
Yeah, so unfortunately, they experience earthquakes quite often.
Yeah, that's the downside.
But on the plus side, this geological activity has created some really unique landscapes.
Like Cappadocia.
Yeah, Cappadocia is amazing.
Yeah, with those incredible rock formations.
Okay, so what about safety?
Safety is important.
Yeah, well, the document says that Turkey has a moderate crime rate,
Okay.
and the main concern is petty crime.
So like pickpocketing and stuff.
Yeah, especially in crowded tourist areas.
Right, you got to be careful in those crowded places.
Yeah, but violent crime is pretty rare.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, and they say that generally, if you take normal travel precautions, Turkey is a safe place to visit.
So common sense, basically.
Exactly. And then getting around Turkey seems pretty easy.
Okay, how so?
Well, they have a really good transportation network. They have high-speed trains that connect major cities.
Like Istanbul.
Yeah, Istanbul and Karakonya,
Okay.
and they have a really extensive bus network.
So you can get around pretty easily.
Yeah, and Istanbul has a great public transportation system
Oh.
with metros, trams, ferries, buses.
So you don't even need a car in Istanbul.
Nope. And then, of course, they have domestic and international flights too.
So all your transportation needs are covered.
Yeah, and the climate in Turkey is quite varied.
Right.
The coasts have a Mediterranean climate.
So hot summers and mild winters.
Right, and then central Anatolia has a continental climate.
So hot, dry summers and cold, snowy winters.
Yeah, and eastern Turkey has really harsh winters.
Wow.
Yeah, with lots of snow and freezing temperatures.
So you have to pack accordingly.
Yeah, definitely. And then the official language is Turkish,
Turkish.
but English is pretty widely spoken in tourist areas.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, among younger people.
Okay.
And they also speak Kurdish and other minority languages in some parts of the country.
Got it.
And of course, we can't forget about Turkish food.
Oh, yeah. Turkish food is amazing.
Yeah, they have this really rich and varied cuisine with influences from the Mediterranean, the Middle East, and Central Asia.
Wow, so it's a real melting pot of flavors.
Yeah, they have everything from kebabs to mezes to baklava to Turkish delight.
My mouth is watering just thinking about it.
Yeah, and they have really good street food too,
Oh, yeah, like what?
like simit duner börek.
So much good food to try.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so bringing it back to Antalya,
Yeah.
the travel blog that we were talking about earlier, the one from 2022,
Yeah.
they actually put Antalya into the context of a broader 10-day Turkey itinerary.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so they suggest combining Antalya with visits to Istanbul, Izmir, and Cappadocia.
Istanbul, Izmir, and Cappadocia.
Yeah, those are like the classic Turkey destinations.
Yeah, and they actually highlight those three locations as must-sees.
So if you're going to Turkey, you got to hit those spots.
And they talk about Istanbul's historical significance and the Bosphorus and the traditional Turkish bath
Oh,
experience.
yeah, the hammam.
Yeah, and then Izmir is a good base for exploring the ancient city of Ephesus.
Ephesus.
Yeah, which was a Greco-Roman city.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then Cappadocia is known for its unique landscapes.
And the hot air balloon rides.
Yes, the hot air balloon
I've
ride.
always wanted to do that.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
So that 10-day itinerary sounds like a pretty amazing trip.
Yeah, it does. And the blogger was really happy with their stay at the Voyage Resort in Antalya.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah, they said it exceeded their expectations. So that's another point in Antalya's favor.
Definitely.
Okay, so we also have this other perspective from a cruise.
A cruise.
Yeah, this one's from 2013.
Okay.
And it was a cruise from Venice to Izmir.
Venice to Izmir.
Yeah, so Antalya wasn't on the itinerary.
Okay.
But it still gives us some interesting